Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 2, entitled Hiranyakashipu, King of the Demons. Text 56 and 57. That's 56 on the... Oh no, it's 57. So I'll just read 56 and then we'll chant 57. Evam kulingam vilapantam ahat arat priya vijoga turam ashu kantam sa evatam shakunika sharena vidyaha kala pahito vilina. Translation. Because of the loss of his wife, the Kulinga bird lamented with tears in his eyes. Meanwhile, following the dictations of mature time, the hunter, who was very carefully hidden in the distance, released his arrow, which pierced the body of the Kulinga bird and killed him. Evam yuyam apashyantya evam yuyam apashyantya evam yuyam apashyantya atmapayam abuddhaya atmapayam abuddhaya atmapayam abuddhaya Nainam Prapshata Sochantya Nainam Prapshata Sochantya Nainam Prapshata Sochantya Patim Varsha Shater Api Patim Varsha Shater Api Patim Varsha Shater Api Evam Yuyam Apashyanta Atmapayam Abuddhaya Nainam Prapshatta Yasochantya Patim Varsha Shater Api
Yeah.
Okay then. Evam, thus, yuyam, you, apashyanta, not seeing, atma apayam, own death, abuddhaya, O ignorant ones, na, not, enam, him, prapashyata, you will obtain. So chantya, lamenting for, patim, your husband, vasha kshatai, for 100 years, api, even. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. Thus, Yamaraj, in the guise of a small boy, told all the queens, you are all so foolish that you lament, but you do not see your own death. Afflicted by a poor fund of knowledge, you do not know that even if you lament for your dead husband for hundreds of years, you will never get him back alive. And in the meantime, your lives will be finished. Together? Thus, Yamaraj, in the guise of a small boy, told all the queens, you are also foolish that you lament, but you do not see your own death. Afflicted by a poor fund of knowledge, you do not know that even if you lament for your dead husband for hundreds of years, you will never get him back alive. And in the meantime, your lives will be finished. Purport. Yamaraj once asked Maharaj Yudhishthira, what is the most wonderful thing within this world? Maharaj Yudhishthira replied, Mahabharata, Vanaparv 313-116, Ahanyahani Bhutani Gacchantita Yamalayam Shesha Stavaram Ichanti Kim Acharam Atakparam. Hundreds and thousands of living entities meet death at every moment, but a foolish living being nonetheless thinks himself deathless and does not prepare for death. This is the most wonderful thing in the world. Everyone has to die because everyone is fully under the control of material nature. Yet, everyone thinks that he is independent, that whatever he likes, he can do, that he will never meet death, but live forever, and so on. So-called scientists are making various plans by which living entities in the future can live forever. But while they are thus pursuing such scientific knowledge, Yamaraj, in due course of time, will take them away from their business of so-called research. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshu Shunmilitam Jena Tasmai Sri Guruve Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobishtam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Shayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Sva Pandantikam Evam Yuyam Apashyantya Atma Pashyam Abuddhaya Nainam Prapshyata Sochantya Patim Varsha Saterapi. Thus Yamaraj, in the guise of a small boy, told all the queens, you are all so foolish that you lament, but you do not see your own death. Afflicted by a poor fund of knowledge, you do not know that even if you lament for your dead husband for hundreds of years, you will never get him back alive. And in the meantime, your lives will be finished. So these narrations here, this chapter is follows the death of Hiranyaksha. And Hiranyakashipu, first of all, was very angry. His brother was killed by Vishnu, Varaha, Dev. And he sent his people out to destroy anywhere where there was cow protection going on, Brahminical culture going on. He sent them out there to harass and burn and generally give those people a hard time. Followers of Vishnu, worshippers of Vishnu. But then he took time out to console his relatives, the wives of Hiranyaksha, his sons, and so on. And it's very interesting because he becomes very philosophical in that discourse. And he pinpoints all the important features, knowledge that's there in the Vedas, that you're not this body, etc. So here, Hiranyakashipu, biggest demon in the universe at that time, but very intelligent and knows the scriptures. He knows the scriptures. He knows that we're not this body. That means he knows he's not that body also. He knows that Hiranyaksha, his brother, was not that body. He knows all that stuff. He has that knowledge. Just like you all have that knowledge. However, there's some differences for some of you. So he, in spite of knowing and having all that knowledge, he's not able to control himself, not able to use that knowledge fruitfully, even though he's advising with these stories. He's giving these stories examples. Even in spite of that, himself, he's not able to utilize that knowledge because it's not realized. It's not... He still has ambitions. Ambitious. He wants to kill Vishnu, and he thinks he can do it. He believes that. He believes he can. He's already subdued all the demigods, all the followers of his. They're skulking around, hiding out on the earthly planet, all the demigods. So he's very full of himself, and in spite of having all Vedic knowledge and even able to speak it and give the consolation to the wives and children, all his relatives, he's consoling them, not by just patting them on the head, but by giving them a spiritual knowledge. And in spite of his ability to do that, he's not able to himself follow and that path. He's taken a different path, and his path is opposed to the very knowledge that he's propounding, right? And unfortunately, we see that some of us follow that same path, and that we have been given all good information, teaching by Prabhupada. We have the books and we sit and propound this knowledge. We try to spread it. We try to give it to others. But we're not always able to ourselves come to that standard. So what to do? What should we do? Should we follow in Hiranyakashipu's footsteps? Or should we just continue to endeavor to bring ourselves to the platform that we are talking about, that we're speaking about? I think it's the latter, if I'm not mistaken. Here, there's that interesting point that Yudhishthira Maharaj made when asked about the most wonderful thing in the world. And it is. It's astonishing. Huh? So many people, we just look around, hundreds and thousands. Prabhupada mentions living entities. Now, we see humans, we only think on that platform. But actually, hundreds and thousands, hundreds and millions of living entities are daily facing death. But somehow or other, we are thinking that not us, not me, I'm gonna live forever. At least that's the way we act. Even if we don't think like that, I'm not sitting around thinking I'm gonna live forever. But I'm acting in that way. I'm acting in a way which assumes that I'm gonna live forever. What did Parikshit Maharaj do? He knew, he was very fortunate, he knew that in 7 days he's gonna meet his end, his death. What did he do? Did he take out his bucket list and say, oh, I haven't done all these things, I have to go there and I have to go here and I have to see this, I have to see that, I have to do that, to jump off that mountain? No, he didn't do that. He didn't have a bucket list. He went and he sat on the bank of the river, and the sages were there, and he started to hear. Shravanam Kirtanam. Right? And that's the example that we have and that we need to follow. Yes. Prabhupada's giving the example of the scientists, and you see, I don't spend a lot of time reading papers and all that, but you see that they're always doing research. They're always doing research for this and for that to extend the lifespan, and they have the idea. I think it's called one branch of their research. Is it cryogenics? Cryogenics. That they're so foolish. Some people are so foolish, and they buy into that. They pay big money, and those scientists take that money. And what do? They freeze or something, or even I don't know. The brain or the whole body or some kind of arrangement like that, where they keep your body on ice or part of your body on ice, so that in the future when they finally break the code and everyone can live forever, then they'll unfreeze them and then they can join in that party. Such foolish stuff is going on right now, today. You hear about it and you read about it. And the scientists are such bluffers that they say, oh, I have this idea, give me money, give me research funds, it's going to help. And like that, it's going on. And Maharaj Yudhishthira pointed out That is the most wonderful thing. Everyone's dying. You can't stop that process, yet endeavors are being made by humans, not animals, humans, to try and break that cycle of birth and death by some kind of mechanical, scientific process. There's only one way you can break the cycle of birth and death. Only one way. You can do it. It's possible. It's possible. It's described in the scriptures. In fact, that's our business as in this human form of life, to break that cycle of birth and death that we're tied in by the ropes, the guna, by our those ropes tied, you know, tying us. You can do that. Slash in the Gita, slash those ropes with the torch, with the sword of knowledge, right? And somehow or other, we've been given access to that. We have been given access to all of that knowledge and all of that process, that how to break the cycle. And we don't have to do any more research. Research not required. No research required. It's all there, laid out for us. We just have to follow the process given by the acharyas. And those who don't do it, and those who do it, both of them, all of us, are forced in due course of time. Yamaraj will take us. But if we are properly situated, then his servants will not approach. Death will come for this body. But we are not this body. We are thinking we are this body. We are not this body. And when death comes, then Yamaraj's people will not be able to approach us if we are properly situated. Rather, some other entities will come and guide us back home, back to Godhead. So it's very important for us, even though we may be struggling with this idea. We have the knowledge, we read the Gita, we heard, you know, from the Bhakta leader that we're not this body. We studied the Gita, we did the Bhakti Shastri course, we moved on to Bhakti Vaibhav, we're getting it down. We're getting it all down and we're learning it. But the process requires sevaya, pariprashnena, sevaya. So the study is there, learn the scriptures, study the scriptures in the association of devotees, very important. But sevaya also, in order to make that knowledge realized, to bring it to the heart level, bring it down. Intellectual level is okay, but it won't help us. We have to bring it to the heart level by service. What does that mean? Because the spiritual master, by pleasing the spiritual master, by pleasing the Vaishnavas, Hridoy Prakashito. Hridoy Prakashito. It will be manifested within the heart. That's called realized knowledge, and that's what will keep us safe when that knock comes on the door, and it could happen at any moment. Don't think that you have 80 years, not necessary. Don't think that you have 10 years, or you don't know. We don't know. We have no idea. So it's very important that we keep ourselves fixed in Krishna consciousness at the lotus feet of the Vaishnavas. That's where we'll be protected, that's where we're safe, and that's where we'll make advancement in this process that we're attempting, that we're engaged in. Hare Krishna. Any comments from the gallery or questions? Prabhuji. He's going to bring you a mic.
Thank you for the class. The wives of the Hiranyaksha, did they hear this philosophy for the first time? Are they hearing this for the first time? Is that like when Yamaraj in the form of a boy is speaking this philosophy, how they're not the body and they shouldn't lament?
Could you speak into the mic or something?
Well, I wondered if this situation where the wives are in, that they're hearing this for the first time, or maybe they just forgot about it, or they're in illusion. You know, when it happens to you, when you lose your somebody dies.
Interesting question.
So, I think, but I wondered if we're in the same position. I wondered if you could, like you mentioned, that we may be not practicing this, even though we've heard it. For instance, we've been told that soon there will be no more gasoline. And yet, I don't see any evidence of us not practicing or being dependent on fuel or gasoline. I just wondered if that's maybe in the same category.
Yeah, that's not a bad example. People at large, you know, they say that the gas supplies are going to run out in X number of years, but there's no one's taking any notice, right? I mean, they heard it, but they just continuing because they want to have that V8 engine, or they want to travel, or they want to do what they want to do. People want to do what they want to do, right? And they don't, the future, they don't care. Whether the queens, I mean, Hiranyakashipu and all those demon, they were well versed in the shastras, which means they must have studied in the, I don't know, Gurukul or whatever school the demons have. So they must have studied the scriptures under teachers. They have their gurus. The ladies, I'm not sure. I don't know. Frankly. But I think that they probably did also hear. We see that at least on the people like Queen Kunti and other leading ladies in the Mahabharata, they knew the philosophy, they knew the stuff. So I don't doubt that the queens had that knowledge. I mean, it was there, and he's consoling them. It's just like, you know, when someone dies in the family, then everyone becomes a little introspective. And then that's an opportunity to hear some truths, and they're engaged in that kind of process right there, and that's what we see also in nowadays. And it doesn't always work, or it works for a week or a month, and then people just forget and go on with their activities, right? And we see that in ourselves. We don't have to look that far. I mean, at least I see it in myself. You know. You know,
think it'd be any way to implement practicing that in this city?
Say again?
You think there'd be any way to implement practice like we're practicing now? We have sadhana. We have our morning program.
Yeah.
We chant japa. We fast.
Yeah.
If we could fast from gasoline.
Yeah, I didn't catch the full question. We're practicing here.
Yeah, we are practicing bhakti yoga.
Yes. And?
Maybe we could practice
self-sufficiency, echo
fasting from gasoline once a month or something. I don't know.
I think most of us do. Not, you know. Of course, I got my little bike. It's very economical. And I use it to zip around.
Yeah, I hear them zipping around at 12 midnight, you know.
I don't know. I should walk once a month.
Okay.
As an example. I'm playing with you, but, you know, personally, I don't go in that direction because I try to use everything in the Lord's service. And I think that's our perspective, is that we utilize anything and everything in the Lord's service, even the gasoline, even though it's running out. I'm not a conservator of the material world. And that's not my focus. My focus is to try and push Srila Prabhupada's mission in whatever little way I can, using the information and teachings that he gave us. But no doubt there's people out there who have that interest, and, you know, I'm not standing in their way.
Well, it probably won't happen like all at once. It'll probably be a gradual thing anyway, so we'll be able to prepare for it.
Yeah. But I was saying, you know, it's like we practice Krishna consciousness, you know, some of us for 40 plus years, and speaking for myself, you know, I still have problems. I still think that there's no tomorrow, you know, that death's not going to take me. And this is very, as Yudhishthira Maharaj, is a very wonderful thing from one perspective, but from another perspective, it's very dangerous for us. Very dangerous for us. I think it's time. People are heading out. Thank you all very much for listening. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna.